This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talk about stable homes and how it pertains to Hurricane Helene and misinformation. That's weird. I'll explain in a moment. Amber Smith, Jason Nelson, Kamala Harris is on the campaign trail and shouldn't be. All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about Hurricane Helene, the aftermath, FEMA, misinformation. But to lead us there, let's talk about stable homes. I'm not talking about physical homes. No, this is not a discussion about guarding against a mudslide, which you can't do. I'm talking about a nuclear family home. Sounds like I'm going someplace different. I'm not. Just stay with me. Stay with me. Have you ever done any reading or watched any documentaries? I know we've talked about it on this show before. About what a stable home will do for children as they grow into being adults. I don't have all the numbers. I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of statistics, but it's something that's been widely known and widely studied now forever, that if you're a child and you are raised in a stable home with a loving mother, a loving father, statistically, there are no guarantees in life. You could still end up being a dirtball, but statistically, that is the highest privilege there is. More than money, more than houses, more than food, more than cars. But statistically, as far as how children grow up and turn out, if you are from a stable home, stability, love in the home, you are set up for life in a way people who don't are not. And vice versa. This may be that your background, so I'm sure you turned out fine. Again, nothing's universal. But if your home is broken, shattered, dad ran out on you, divorce, disaster, drugs, crime. Statistically, every single number says that statistically, your chances of turning out the way the stable family guy did are just not very good. You are on a wild path. Now, what does any of this have to do with Hurricane Helene, FEMA, misinformation, the aftermath? Well, let's discuss this. Why? Why the difference in the stable homes? There's a bunch of different reasons, but one of the main reasons is this. If me, Jesse, if I came from a stable home, and I do, love you, Dad and Mom, my parents are still together, loving family. If you come from a stable home, what it gives you is an anchor. You have an anchor of something. You know what stability looks like, integrity looks like, genuine love looks like. You know what these things look like, and that's the environment you were raised in. And so when you leave that environment and you go out into the world where everything can be transactional, your friends, your business, your everything, people will try to do you wrong, people will lie to you, you still have that anchor of having been raised in a stable home so you can find lies and bad people right away. That guy's a bad guy, that guy's a cheat, that guy lies. You are much less susceptible to blowing in the winds. And if you're from an unstable home, exactly the opposite. Because you were, through no fault of your own, maybe this is your story, raised with instability in the home. You don't have that anchor holding you down. And you go out into the world surrounded by transactional people and situations and lies and cheats. And you will blow with the wind much more easily than someone who didn't. So let's discuss the government, misinformation, and FEMA. Because I saw the FEMA lady over the weekend run to the news in the wake of FEMA's rampant failure. They have failed the American people in the wake of Hurricane Helene. She ran to the news to whine about misinformation.
So much is going viral online as well. One user suggested yesterday that a militia should go against FEMA. It got more than 500,000 views. What kind of impact has this had on the recovery effort?
It has a tremendous impact on the comfort level of our own employees to be able to go out there, but it's also demoralizing to all of the first responders that have been out there in their communities helping people, FEMA staff, volunteers, the private sector that are working side by side with local officials to go out and help people. I need to make sure I can get the resources to where they're needed. And when you have this dangerous rhetoric like you're hearing, it creates fear in our own employees. We need to make sure we're getting help to the people who need it.
Oh, I wish you would stop lying. We're trying. We're doing the best we can. It's not like she was alone. If you watched the media over the weekend, it was a steady drumbeat of politician after media person after bureaucrat complaining about all these lies. Corinne Diversity Hire was out there doing it, too.
Former President Trump is accusing the Biden administration of using FEMA funding to support undocumented migrants. How is the White House responding to this?
I mean, it's just categorically false. It is not true. It is a false statement. And look, the fact of the matter is, I think Washington Post fact checker did a piece, and the headline recently, just moments ago, not too long ago, and the headline was, "No, Biden did not take FEMA relief money to use on migrants, but Trump did."
Okay. Well, look, what she's doing there is she's lying without lying, because they're on camera discussing FEMA handing out money to illegals.
Funding is also available through FEMA's Emergency Food and Shelter Program to eligible local governments and non-for-profit organizations upon request to support humanitarian relief for migrants.
Okay, so let's set that aside, though. What they're talking about is different funds. It wasn't from that fund. It was from a different fund. But they're complaining about the misinformation. These are lies. Why are people believing this? Well, you see, remember COVID? Remember COVID? I'm not changing the subject. Stay with me. This is going to come back to the home thing and the misbelief and things like that. Remember COVID? And there were a million things we did wrong with COVID. You heard me scream about them every day here on the television set. But remember what I used to say about the public trust during COVID? About how you're violating the public trust right now. You're lying about this. You're lying about masks. You're lying about social distancing. You're lying about the deaths. You're lying about the hospitals. It's lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And you may have justified all these lies in your mind when you look at yourself in the mirror at night. But what you're doing is you're violating the public trust to such a degree that going forward, no matter what happens to the American people, war, famine, natural disaster, when you want information out there or when you want to correct misinformation, the people won't believe you, and the only person you have to blame is you, because you can't stop lying now. Remember when I used to tell you that all the time? We now live in a society where misinformation, if there is any out there, and there's plenty of information and misinformation about Helene, but information, misinformation, it doesn't matter what it is, it will travel much faster today and have much more of an impact than it ever had before, because the same people who told you ivermectin is horse paste are the people telling you FEMA's doing everything it can to help the victims of Hurricane Helene. You can't lie to me over and over and over and over and over again, because now I don't know what to believe. Now I'm from that unstable home. I'm an American citizen. I have no stability at home. I don't have an anchor. I don't believe the CDC. I don't believe FEMA. I don't believe the FBI. I sure as hell don't believe the White House. I don't believe the media. I don't believe the scientists. I don't believe the doctors. I don't believe the weather people. I don't believe Harvard. I don't believe any of you people. And you have yourself to blame for that lack of belief. And now that I don't believe anything, now that my home has been shattered through no fault of my own, I am going to blame blow with the wind because there is no more anchor. There is no more stability. And if you're looking for someone to blame, go find the bathroom mirror. The same people who lined up and told me Donald Trump colluded with Russia to win an election, the people who told me George Floyd died because of a knee in the center of his back, the people who told me I needed to take the vaccine, it stops the spread, it slows the spread, whatever, take your booster shot. The same people who told me lie after lie after lie after lie after lie are now standing up every single day complaining, why are they doing all this misinformation stuff? You shattered the home. I don't have anywhere else to turn. I don't have anywhere else to go. And look, you want me to trust you. Are you earning it? When you have these, I believe they're bi-weekly talks about LGBTQ FEMA stuff, you think I'm going to trust you when the beep hits the fan?
Sparked a few things in my mind, thinking about preparedness and how you said, you know, LGBTQIA people and people who have been disadvantaged already are struggling. They already have their own things to deal with. So you add a disaster on top of that. It's just compounding on itself. And I think that is maybe the why of why we're having these discussions, is because it isn't being talked about. It isn't being socialized. We're not paying attention to this community.
As Leo mentioned, there were those conversations, not only with migrant trans women. Being a migrant trans woman, there is an undocumented concern. There is also a concern of whether they would trust the people, places that are offering shelter that are faith-based because of the way they've been responded to in the past. Then if they are accepted, what would happen in terms of misgendering, in terms of bedrooms and bathrooms, et cetera. And then in addition,
yesterday, I'm worried about the migrant trans stuff getting misgendered in a church today. Hey, why don't you guys trust us? You get what you get. Don't throw a fit. I tried to warn you during COVID this was coming. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a huge show for you. It is the anniversary of October 7th. Josh Hammer has a lot to say, as you may imagine, about that, and we will discuss that with Josh Hammer next. I want to talk to you about Pure Talk for a moment first. Have you ever been proud of your cell phone company? It's kind of a weird thing to even say, isn't it? Have you ever been proud? Do you have Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile? Do you brag to your friends about it? Hey, I've got AT&T. I bet you don't. I'm proud of mine because Pure Talk does more than just provide great 5G coverage, great prices. My cell phone company is all about America. They hire Americans who speak English. When you pick up the phone and talk to someone in Pure Talk, they're going to understand you and they'll be pleasant. And they'll speak English back to you. Their CEO fought for this country 2 tours in Vietnam. Pure Talk doesn't give to Planned Parenthood and Black Lives Matter. Pure Talk promotes your values. I am proud to be partnered with Pure Talk. I'm proud they're my cell phone company. Go switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Make the switch today.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is the anniversary for Israel, the anniversary of October 7th, obviously, of that horrific attack by Hamas. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning. One, what a moronic decision that was by Hamas. Just all emotions aside, what were they thinking? You're a small, relatively insignificant terror organization bordering a very significant military power, and you just thought you were going to butcher 1,000 of them without consequence? I'm blown away by the strategic thinking, or lack thereof, of it. That's one. Two, the scale of that. Think about what 9/11 was to us. 9/11, we're a country of 300 million people. 9/11 happens. 1,000 people for Israel, a country of 8 million people, is staggering. This is an event that will, I mean, for the rest of their lives. Joining me now, Josh Hammer, author of the book Israel and Civilization. Josh, not exactly a happy anniversary, my friend, but obviously a lot of thoughts going through our heads on a day like today.
Yeah, Jesse, it's kind of those, you know, it's one of those where to even begin sort of situations, right? I mean, first of all, time really flies. I mean, I can't believe that a full year has gone by. I think first, on a personal level, to my brother-in-law, who lives 5 miles from Gaza. You know, this happened over a Jewish holiday a year ago. It was both over the Jewish Sabbath and a Jewish holiday called Simchat Torah. And, you know, my in-laws here in Florida, where I live, you know, we had no way of getting in touch with my brother-in-law. They didn't know for essentially 48 hours whether their own son was okay. And just to try to drive home how, you know, how personal this was, not just for Jews in Israel, but for Jews all around the world. I mean, really just for, you know, for lovers of Western civilization, for enemies of barbarism, right? Because those basically are the civilizational stakes here. And I guess zooming out and focusing on the geopolitics of it, Jesse, what's striking to me is how little has actually changed over the past year. In fact, you can make a decent argument that the geopolitical situation today is even more fraught with danger, is even more volatile than it was a year ago. Because if you look at the Middle East right now, Israel is essentially fighting a 7-front war. It's not just a 1-front war in Gaza against Hamas. They have Hamas in Gaza. They also have various Iranian-backed jihadist groups in Judea and Samaria, aka the West Bank. You've got Hezbollah in Lebanon. You have Iran-backed militias in both Syria and Iraq. You have the Houthis in Yemen. Those are also backed by Iran. And then you have the head of the snake itself. You have Iran, which just last Tuesday launched 181 ballistic missiles at Israel. So they're literally fighting a 7-front war. If anything, their situation today is a lot worse than it was 1 year ago. So there is a lot up in the air at this moment. And I guess we're going to have to see what happens when it comes to what Israel's retaliation against the Iranian strike looks like. But Jesse, I wish I had better news to send to the audience here, but unfortunately, I don't see this situation getting a whole lot better anytime sooner.
Josh, I wanted to ask you about Iran, because, look, I understand that it's a fundamentalist, jihadist, nutball regime that needs to be ousted so the people there can be free. I get all that, and I get they're all on board with the kill all the Jews stuff. I get that. But they've launched, to my calculation, 2 official attacks. I realize they fund all the terror groups. Bunch of ballistic missiles, didn't really hurt anybody. Guy killed here, someone injured there. It almost seems to me from the outside looking in that Iran doesn't want this thing to escalate. Am I wrong?
So it's hard to say. I wouldn't necessarily say you're wrong. It's hard to say exactly what this regime wants. I mean, Jesse, you know, one thing that was beautiful, and that's an awkward word to use, one thing that was good, a silver lining of the Cold War, I guess you would say, against the Soviets, was that These were atheists. These were commie atheists in Moscow who abided by the tenets of what economists call game theory. So put it another way, for all of their evils and the gulags and Stalin and the bread lines and the shortages and all of that, they were at the end of the day, for the most part, rational, calculating actors. This is the entire purpose of the doctrine of mutually assured destruction. I mean, that's why we never fought a nuclear war against the Soviets, was because we could count on them to abide by the rational economic theories of mutually assured destruction. But you're dealing here, as you said, with a regime that wants 72 virgins in heaven. I don't really know how else to say it. I mean, that fundamentally is what motivates them. I have no particular reason for thinking that the Ayatollah Khomeini particularly abides by economic game theory or anything like that. They really actually do want to kill all of the infidels. I mean, Hamas, which is Sunni, they're not Shiite, but they say it right in their founding charter. You could literally Google their founding charter from 1987 today. They want the death of all the Jews and the deaths of all the rest of the infidels, including Americans, Christians, you name it there. So, you know, they're pretty clear about what they want. I guess the steps that they take at any given time in order to put that into action, I guess your mileage may vary, but they ultimately really do want the death of everyone around them. By the way, that actually includes Sunni Muslims who don't toe the fundamentalist Shiite line. I mean, they bomb Saudi oil facilities. The Saudis and the Emiratis, America's and Israel's foremost Sunni Arab partners, they want this regime to take a severe blow just as much as I or any other supporter of the U.S. or Israel does, for that matter.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because there are two players who are actually rarely discussed, because Israel and Iran are the two main players here. First, we'll get to Saudi in just a moment. Lebanon. This is not a country most Americans are really familiar with. They've heard of it. They know, obviously, about Beirut, or at least something bad happened there back in the 80s. But honestly, that's the extent of most people's understanding of this country. What is this country? What's their problem?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about Lebanon, actually. So, you know, we just had the Jewish holiday, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and I spent it with my in-laws who they've lived in America for like 30 years now, but they were born in Israel. My father-in-law, when he was in the IDF, the Israeli military, he served in Lebanon. And we were talking about Beirut. You know, he has actually very fond memories of Beirut. Now, admittedly, he was there on a military mission, but he remembers it before Hezbollah fully took it over. I mean, he described for me these lush, elaborate restaurants. I mean, Beirut, once upon a time, was known as the Paris of the Mediterranean. One of my buddies here in Florida, what was a professor at American universities in both Cairo, Egypt, and Beirut, Lebanon. Beirut was a highly desired, highly sought-after city back in the day. But Hezbollah, which is Iran's Shiite proxy organization that at this point basically runs the country of Lebanon, they've run the entire country into the ground. And the Lebanon of today is not the Lebanon that it was as recently as 15, 20 years ago. Now, it is a religiously divided country, which is interesting. It's about one-third Sunni Muslim, about one-third Shiite Muslim, about one-third Christian. It's one of the only countries in the Middle East that still has anything remotely resembling a Christian population. But the Christians there are openly and nakedly discriminated against by Hezbollah, unsurprisingly, as are the Sunni Muslims to an extent as well. So Lebanon at this point is basically just an Iranian satrapy. It's essentially just an Iranian-controlled province. Now, Israel has taken a mighty chunk out of Hezbollah over the past few weeks. So in theory, it would be great if Lebanon could get out of the jackboot of Iran, the same way it would be great if Syria, Iraq, and Yemen get out of the jackboot of Iran. But unfortunately, that's just the Iranian corridor of power right now.
Yeah, those vacuums don't often get filled by what you want them filled by. Okay, yep. Finally, Saudi Arabia. What kind of a player are they in all this? Are they Israeli allies, Iranian allies? I know there's a Sunni Shiite thing. People don't understand the politics of it. Explain it to us.
So I tend to be unapologetically bullish on Saudi Arabia. Not every person on our side of the aisle, Jesse, tends to agree with me on that. But I am actually very bullish on Saudi Arabia, and I'll tell you why. A lot of neoconservatives, a lot of people in the Lindsey Graham, John McCain ilk, folks that you and I probably would not agree on a lot of foreign policy with, you know, they take an overly moralistic view of these matters. And you hear people say, oh, we can't be allies with a country. We Americans cannot possibly be allies with them if they're committing humanitarian catastrophes. They're publicly executing. They're doing this. They're doing that. The women can't drive, whatever. You know, America exists to promote and to spread liberty. That's not my foreign policy at all. I am a very sober, hard-headed realist. And at the end of the day, if a country being strong is good for the U.S. national interest, then I want that country to be strong. That, by the way, is why Donald Trump went all in, not just on U.S.-Israel relations, but also on U.S.-Saudi relations. In fact, people forget this, but Donald Trump's first overseas visit in May of 2017 was to Riyadh. It was to the capital of Saudi Arabia. It was that famous image of him with the orb. I still don't really know what it was to this day. People on Twitter were going nuts about it at the time. And Trump reassured U.S.-Saudi relations after Barack Obama mollycoddled and cozied up to Iran and then dismissed the Saudis. So the Saudis are an extremely important piece of this puzzle. And without the Saudis giving their implicit sign-off, you don't get the Abraham Accords. There's no way the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, and Sudan make peace with Israel unless the Saudis are there in the background saying, you guys go ahead, you be the guinea pig, let's see how it works out for you. I have no doubt, Jesse. No doubt that if Donald Trump gets a second term, God willing, in January 2025, the Saudis will formally join the Abraham Accords probably sooner rather than later, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Besides, what's wrong with banning women from driving? I've been on board with that forever. Josh, thank you so much. I appreciate it, bud. All right. We have a little panel to discuss that whole thing militarily in just a moment. Before we get to that, let's get to you. How's your Monday? When you woke up this morning, when those eyes of yours opened up, when your alarm went off, did you say to yourself, oh, gosh, I feel rested and ready? Or did you say, oh, it's Monday, I'm going to die this week? Get some dream powder from Beam in your life. It'll put you to sleep at night. And when you wake up in the morning, you won't have that, I took something to sleep grogginess that just drags you down. You wake up feeling good every single day. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. It's a cup of hot chocolate, but it's got melatonin and some natural things in it. Puts you right out. You want up to 40% off? 40% off! Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go sleep like a baby. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than the championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sick. Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
Joining me now, Amber Smith, veteran, author of the book Unfit to Fight, and Jason Nelson, veteran, host of The Morning Post. Jason, all I can do is laugh. The biggest morons in the world run the country. And we all make fun of Dome. All it's easy to make fun of Kamala Harris. But these people are throughout the military now. They're throughout the bureaucracy. Just morons who don't know anything about anything.
You know, it always, there was that sort of thought deep down when you were I don't know, being deployed, being briefed on a mission, doesn't really matter what it was, that you thought somewhere up the chain, somebody must know something, right? And now we can confirm that, no, they don't.
Amber, it's been a year since October 7th. That's obviously a big conversation today, and there are many different things you can discuss around it. But one thing that's not very comfortable and not discussed as often is the failures of Israel's intelligence, military, whatever. Somebody failed if 1,000 of your citizens are butchered by a terror group in one day. Somebody failed, and somebody failed big time. And it's not something that's discussed. I know it's because the war is still going on, but it should be something that gets discussed.
You know, it should be discussed. And I actually was having a conversation about this not too long ago with some people who live in Israel. And I was like, how did they not know? We, U.S. intelligence shares information. The Israeli intelligence is the best in the world, along with United States intelligence. What happened? Where was the miscommunication? Did they just not take it seriously? They had the intelligence and they didn't connect the dots, very similarly to 9/11, because this was their 9/11. And this is now the 1 year anniversary of the most horrific attack against Israel themselves or on their soil. And I think what we are going to see, though, is Israel, regardless of what happened with the intelligence and them not being ready and prepared, is that I've been to Israel multiple times. They do not mess around. When they get poked to the level that they have been poked, they are not going to stop. It doesn't matter that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who can't even put a sentence together, is telling them to de-escalate in the region. I think the leadership inside Israel has said enough. Iran went too far, and they're not going to stand for it this time, just as we saw with what is going on with Hezbollah. With Hamas, a little bit different story because there's still hostages there, but I think the gloves are coming off.
Switch gears to domestic stuff here. Jason, Hurricane Helene has been in the news. Obviously, this administration's response has been in the news. Here was Joe Biden a week ago.
Today, we're launching a joint declaration of support for Ukraine, recovery, and reconstruction to make it clear we stand with Ukraine now and in the future. That starts on the battlefield. I'm determined to ensure that Ukraine has what it needs to prevail in its fight for its survival. Tomorrow, I will announce a series of actions to accelerate support for Ukraine's military.
Obviously, there's been a ton of defense being played by FEMA, the government, the media, and otherwise. No, these funds weren't meant for that, but these funds are from a different fund, and I get all that, Jason, but I don't think these people understand the deaf ears that falls on when the American people feel abandoned, and every single day our politicians brag about the gobs of our money they're sending overseas.
You know, if I ever want to make myself feel a little bit better, I'll read a press release from the Biden-Harris regime and replace all of the words of foreign countries with North Carolina or Georgia or Florida. So that way I don't really just completely hate my government. You know, I was just on the ground a week ago, as you know, Jesse, dropping off relief supplies. And right now we have a couple of teams working out of Western North Carolina, focusing primarily on sanitation and other things that we can do to help bridge the gap until these communities can begin to stand on their own. And one thing I can say for a fact is that no matter what the media might pretend they're saying, they have not even touched on the absolute depth and breadth of this tragedy and what I believe to be actually something that was preventable. Everyone's saying one of the common themes that's being tossed around by the local leaders and communities and first responders is we were never prepared for this type of disaster. This is not something we even gamed up. And that's just says a lot about how much money we spend on FEMA every year, that they have no imagination to think that if a hurricane were to come through the mountains in that area, what it would do. And I've seen photos, I've got firsthand stories that, again, we've got assets in the region. And I can tell you that there are, I heard a horrible story today about where they went into an area to go find a settlement, you know, something like 70 people. There had been dual mudslides. There is nothing there. As far as bodies or recovery, there's nothing left. There's just covered in mud. And that's just one of many nameless communities that you will never hear about. And again, you can already see the news cycle turning. They want to make this a politicized thing. They politicized it when they didn't stage the gear ahead of time, when they didn't release the funds, when they weren't prepared for a disaster of this magnitude. This is worse than Katrina, because at least Katrina, you could point to a failure of some sort of mechanism that was actually tangible. Here, it's just a failure of people, a failure of forward planning, and we're going to find the death toll is going to rise dramatically, and this is just horrific to see that we're spending money in Ukraine or Lebanon or anywhere else when we have Americans who are right now starving, are buried in mud, and have lost everything.
God have mercy. Amber, it's my understanding that we do have military units, 82nd and others, mobilizing to try to help. That actually is really wonderful news when you consider the ineptness of FEMA. What are they able to do? What are they doing? It's still the federal government still takes them a while to get going.
And this was clearly a failure, at least in Western North Carolina, of the governor of North Carolina activating military assistance. He has to request it. And it's a bureaucracy. It takes time to get the ball rolling. But that in itself is a failure, that they knew this was coming. They knew the hurricane was coming. Yes, maybe they did not know the extent of damage that it was going to be, but it clearly shows that they were not prepared. The leadership did not kick into gear when it should have, when they did realize these devastating results. And it's, I think what people need to realize, and they are waking up because they are seeing now with their own eyes, the government sending, you know, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars to Ukraine, hundreds of million dollars to Lebanon, right around the same time as this hurricane. When people tell you who they are, believe them. The federal government cares about Ukraine. The federal government cares about Lebanon. What they're not showing they care about is the people who have been there, whose lives have been destroyed. If they're lucky enough to be alive, their lives that have been destroyed because of this hurricane, they're getting $750 from FEMA after they get through the bureaucracy, after they find the documentation to get approved for that $750. The government's response, the Biden and Harris administration's response to this hurricane is a disgrace. They are absolutely politicizing it. It is an inconvenience for them during this election cycle, and they are trying to move past it.
Gosh, they really are. Amber, Jason, thank you both so much. I appreciate you. All right, we have so much more. Let's talk a little campaign talk. Well, something from the trail. Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's have a talk that is a little scary. It's scary, but we have to talk about it. So Kamala Harris is out there on the campaign trail right now. And it's easy to sit and make fun of Kamala Harris. Lord knows I mock Dome every day, all day, as often as humanly possible. And this little clip we're about to play you right here of a bunch of word salad nonsense has been making the rounds. She sits down, she talks like this.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election. So 32 days. 32 days. Okay, we got some business to do. We got some business to do. All right. 32 days. And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end. This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
All right, Mr. Producer, I know it was a little long. I want you to get that little clip ready again, because we're going to do a little experiment here. Obviously, as you could tell, the teleprompter went down. The teleprompter went down, and Kamala Harris had no idea what to say and just sat there awkwardly repeating 32 days, 32 days, 32 days. Okay, that in and of itself is hilarious, and it's eye-popping, and it's all those things. I get all that, but think about this. Kamala Harris is almost 60 years old. The teleprompter went down on her for, what was that, 30 seconds? This woman has been a politician for her entire adult life. For her entire adult life, this woman has stood up in front of people. Sometimes it's a little room, sometimes it's a big stadium. For her entire adult life, this woman has stood in front of people and delivered speeches. And so you would assume that would be kind of something that just muscle memory-wise she could do, right? Aren't you good at something? Whatever you've done for a profession, or maybe you're a homemaker. Look, maybe you're a homemaker. Do you need to really sit and focus? Do you need an instruction manual to make spaghetti, to get the pasta ready? No, you're laughing right now if that's what you do. It's something you could probably do in your sleep. Maybe you have. If you go to work, whatever you do, maybe you're a mechanic or a lawyer, whatever you do, there are certain things that just, you've done them for so long, you can do them. Kamala Harris has been doing this forever. So why can't she do it? Well, this goes to the scary part of what I'm going to say. Once you stop being a merit-based society, this goes way beyond Kamala Harris and the presidential campaign and everything else. Once you decide merit is not what you should seek out, not what you should reward, but instead other things, you know, race, gender, and all this other DEI crap and a million other things. Once you go down the non-merit path, well, it's not just a one-step thing. Merit takes your entire society this way. Anything other than merit takes your entire society this way. So as we watch the video again, and we will in a moment, I want you to digest this. You're watching a woman almost 60 years old who's been in the profession for decades, who doesn't know anything about it. She doesn't really know anything about anything. She is a moron. I'm not even saying that IQ-wise. IQ-wise, maybe her mind works great. Maybe she was born with an IQ of 300. I don't know. But for all intents and purposes now, this is an almost 60-year-old woman who doesn't know anything about anything. She's a moron. Now, that in and of itself would be frightening enough if you just thought, well, okay, she might be the next president. That's really scary. But as you watch this video a second time, I'm going to explain something to you. The society that chose to leave merit behind and go this way, it wasn't just politics. Our legal profession has gone this way. Our medical profession has gone this way. Air traffic controllers, this way. Auto manufacturers, this way. Industry after industry, culture after culture, down the path that is not the merit path. So as you watch the possibly next president of the United States of America freeze up like a deer in the headlights when the teleprompter goes out for 35 seconds. I want you to sit and imagine this. This is your doctor. This is your lawyer. This is your pilot now. And this is what happens when you allow this DEI cultural Marxist filth to infect every single part of your society. Watch this. Welcome to your new judge in your next legal case.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election. So 32 days. 32 days. Okay, we got some business to do. We got some business to do. All right. 32 days. And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end. This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
I remember an article came out a couple months back from one of the major medical schools. Of course, one of these medical schools completely infected with DEI filth. No, 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 we can't let him in. His score was too high. No, we don't have enough black people. Let's get more trannies in here, one of those medical schools. And they did a survey. The majority of the students making their way through the medical school still couldn't identify major arteries in the body. What you're watching is not just an infection that has destroyed our politics and our political leaders. We have morons who have risen to the highest, most influential positions of power in this country, and they don't know anything about anything. When you watch Kamala Harris deliver a word salad answer on the Call Her Daddy podcast, I know, how weird is that name? I didn't think about Kamala Harris. I thought, please tell me this guy isn't piloting my next commercial airline flight.
I'm curious, like, you don't do too many long-form interviews. What made you want to do Call Her Daddy today?
Well, I think you and your listeners have really got this thing right, which is one of the best ways to communicate with people is to be real, you know, and to talk about the things that people really care about. I mean, what I love about what you do is that your voice and your show is really about your listeners. And I think especially now, this is a moment in the country and in life where people really want to know they're seen and heard, and that they're part of a community, that they're not out there alone. And so I'm really glad to be with you.
This is why we must go back to being a merit-based society. We have to stop trying to be equal. Nobody's equal. You're not equal to me. I'm not equal to you. No human being is equal to another. We're all built different, different gifts. Let's drop this childish nonsense, equality, equity, all this stuff. No more diversity, no more none of that. Go out there and be the best no matter who you are. That's not a cruel way to run a society. It's the only way to run a society. Unless, of course, you want your society run by dullards like that human being right there who may very well be the next president of the United States of America. It probably made you uncomfortable too, but I still am right. Now, if all that made you uncomfortable, that's fine because we have a light in the mood that's going to make you very comfortable. In fact, it's going to chill you out. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And unlighten the mood, as you well know, oftentimes, most of the time, we put up something that's going to make you laugh. That's the idea. We want to make you laugh. It's been a heavy day. Usually we're talking about heavy topics. We want to send you off with a smile. That's what we're thinking when we're putting together lighten the mood. But then there are some days when we feel like we should inspire. We want to leave you, not necessarily with the laugh, but with inspiration. So maybe you're not happy with where you are in life. Maybe it's your fault, maybe it's not. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, I don't know, I'm not happy. Do I really want something more? Well, I'm gonna play you a little video. I just want you to watch this, and as you're watching this, I just want you to know that's what you're working for.
It is time. This is an exciting moment. Millions and millions of people have reached out to me as I've gone through my saga over the last few weeks. As you well know, I have an ice maker. I don't want to rub any wealth in anyone's face, but I have an ice maker. A lot of people have been asking me about it. I've been pretty cagey about it. I'm a pretty private person, but I thought today's the day. So you ready? It's time for the reveal. Show you what I have so you can hopefully try to be like me. You ready? Yeah, get close. 3, 2, 1. This is the ice maker. As you see up there, ice, as much as I want. If I want any more, let's pour a little water in there, and it makes it. It makes it for you. Try to zoom in on the command center here. This is the command center. It shows all the functions of the ice maker, which it turns on, and if you want, turns off. And that is what I have. You work hard, stay with it. You'll be there one day too.
Keep grinding. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.